A little shorter title this week than last week. I heard a story I thought was kind of, read it actually, thought it was kind of funny. It said a devout old shepherd was out one day with his sheep and he had lost his favorite Bible. And so anyway, a few weeks later, a sheep came along with his Bible in its mouth. The shepherd couldn't believe it. So when he got his Bible back, he took it from the sheep and looked up to heaven and said, "It's a miracle." "Not really," said the sheep. "Your name was written on the inside cover." I thought it was better than that, okay. As I was reading this week, and I come across the phrase, the law of hilarious generosity. And the idea of hilarious really took a hold of me. We all remember, it's been several years ago, an armored truck going down the highway, and all the money flew out of it like a vacuum because someone forgot to shut the back door. Well, they were fortunate. A lot of people stopped to help them. But there was a lot of people stopped to help themselves. And unfortunately, the guard that was in that truck lost his job. But it wasn't generosity that these people were receiving. Probably theft. But there are different types of generosity. In this case, generosity was certainly unintentional. The armored truck company didn't intend on blessing this individual with money and these people that took money, so it was unintentional. Sometimes giving is reluctant. It's reluctant when we feel pressured to do it. And if we feel pressured to do it, there's no blessing there. Because God says, give out of the abundance of our hearts. A lot of times, giving can be manipulative. We give it for the wrong reason. We give it because we want something in return. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about anything. Sometimes it can be self-serving. We give it away in order to get something back, in order to gain personal advantage of it. I give you something, you give me something in return. Biblical generosity is nothing like that. Paul said, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives generously. And so as I said, I was intrigued by that phrase, hilarious generosity. So I got to looking. And oftentimes the word cheerful, believe it or not, is translated hilarious. And so we stop and think, how can I be hilariously happy about giving away something? How can I be happy about that? If you've ever given away anything, you have a pretty good idea why. Because we grasp the fact that God gave Jesus his son, then giving is no big deal. When we stop and think about what we have, as the phrase goes, across Jordan, is greater than anything that we'll ever have here. So it can become hilarious. I saw some laws as I was reading different places this week. One of them was, don't talk yourself out of giving. A lot of people look in their wallet. Someone handed me $2 one day. It may not seem like a big deal. But when they opened their wallet, they had $3. So don't question that. Don't talk yourself out of doing what you really feel like God would have you to do in any respect. Take money seriously, but not too seriously. We all need it to live and survive and buy food and provide housing for our families. But I always told those two boys that lived in our house, we owe you three things. Food. It's not steak every night. A house to live in, a roof over your head, but it's not a $1 million mansion. And it wasn't. Clothes on your back, get ready to shop at Kohl's. That's what we owe. Sunday school class this morning, they were talking about the three things. They were talking about the things that God kept talking to the children of Israel about. It was to be obedient. And he kept reminding them, serve God. Don't have any other gods before me. And all they could do was try to figure out some other God to serve. Some other way of doing things. Give with a smile, not with a cringe. God loves a cheerful giver. Christ-centered stewardship is the byproduct of a Christ-like attitude. Faithful dependability as a Christian steward relates to the management of money, but also a great deal more. If we stop and think about the assets that we have before us, now there's money, but there's time, there's things that we possess. Have you ever given away a car before to somebody? Allison has, I have. Roger had. I didn't really want to give it away. It was a Porsche. But I did. It wasn't in mint condition. But I did that. I'm thinking, you know, I feel good about this. I'm glad I did this. We have our opportunities before us. Opportunities to serve, opportunities to do good, opportunities to bless people. We have those people around us that we influence, and we stop and think about it. And Sally mentioned it this morning. The only thing that we have left when we leave this earth is our legacy. How did I influence someone? What impact did I leave with my children? Was it one of hilarious generosity and giving away love? Maybe possessions, maybe money, maybe grace. Grace to a child that needed a foot somewhere. That's what Jesus does for us. He gives us grace. What about grace in our relationships? I talked to somebody this week that if I could have, hadn't have been on the phone, my hands would have been around their neck shaking them. Because all they were doing were criticizing someone for what someone said, and I told them on the phone, I said, you know what that is? Know what? I said, that's gossip. Somebody tells you something that somebody said, but you don't have the backbone to tell me who said it. Go tell them. Go talk to them. Don't tell me because I'm not hearing it. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm not interested. That's what relationships are. Relationships are, if I have a problem with Bill Oliver, I'm going to go to Bill and say, hey, Bill, what's the deal here? I know it's all your fault, but no, I'm just kidding you. But, you know, and Brenda's shaking her head, yes. But, you know, that's what we're going to do. And that's the way the Bible says to deal with things. Build relationships, don't destroy them. And I know there's a lot of responsibility here when we talk about that stuff. We talked about dependability. To be a faithful steward of God, we have to handle the small things the same way we handle the big things. Because it's the small things. A whole bunch of little small things will get us before one big thing will, if we're not careful. because we let those things get in our lives and get in our way and just ruin us. Treat everything in life as sacred. Relationships to me are sacred. Opportunities are sacred. The Lord laid a name on my heart a couple weeks ago. You need to call this person. And I will confess I haven't called them yet, but I wrote their name down on a piece of paper on my desk today, and they're getting a call tomorrow. It's just some of those things I feel like I got to do. It's that opportunity for relationship. Don't keep things. Share them liberally. Share the gospel liberally. That's grace. The greatest power that God gave us is the ability to make a choice, to decide right and wrong, to decide good and evil. C.S. Lewis said, God has made it a rule for himself that he won't alter people's character by force. He can and will alter them, but only if people will let him do it. He would rather have a world of free beings with all the risk than a world of people who did right like machines because they couldn't do anything else. The more we succeed in imagining what a world of perfect automatic beings would be like, the more we shall see his wisdom. He gives us the opportunity to make choices. It's an eagerness, it's a desire that he's given to all of us. In the Old Testament, we see this in the Old Testament, New Testament, in the Old Testament, we see a great example of David and how David gave of everything that he had. It was a daily saying there. It's, Lord, here I am. Use me as your servant. Guide me as your steward. What would you have me do today for you? Not for me. What would you have me do for you? Willingness is a huge word. It's a huge thing that we have to get back before we talk about giving is our willingness to give. My nephew once owned a baseball card store. And I look back at all the baseball cards I had collected, and my mother said, why don't you just get rid of those and throw them away? I've lost a lot of money if I would have still had them, because those things are worth a lot of money. Some of those that I would have bought when I was about that big. Paul talked about ideals. He talked about a complete set of ideals. In Corinthians, he said, since you excel in so many things, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving and being good stewards of that. What he's saying there is excellence in giving. There's excellence in giving of ourselves. Many Christians settle for the easy paved road rather than the bumpy road that they have an opportunity to go around. And I know the paved road's a lot easier to take than the rugged trail. Unless you've got a rock climbing vehicle, Scott, and then it doesn't really make much difference, does it? Bruce told me one day, he said, if Scott ever invites you, don't go. But that would be a bumpy road to take. He wants us to choose sometimes the path of greatest resistance. Because the greatest blessing is at the end of that journey. Daniel faced it. Daniel faced excellence. He lived in a country where he was to bow down before the king, and he said no, he wouldn't do it. And he ended up in the lion's den with three hungry lions. And he came out of the lion's den, but you know where his accusers went? They went in the lion's den. He remained faithful. He was a good steward. He set an example of excellence in giving. Giving can be demanding. It requires spiritual discipline. Giving time to God. I was listening to the radio coming in this morning, and some minister on there was speaking that he remembered seeing his dad, mom, every morning sitting reading their Bible, and he could hear his dad back in his own in another room praying. And he said when his daughter was 8 years old, she said to him one day, he said, "Daddy, when you're finished praying, can you come out and play?" You know, that's the kind of legacy that we want to leave, and that's the kind of thing that we want to do. It requires some personal determination. I'm determined to do what I've set out to do. I'm not going to let anything interfere with it. It's unconditional devotion. I'm devoted to what I've said I'm going to do, and there's going to be nothing that interferes with it. Like I said, 2 weeks ago, God laid that person's name on my heart. And I got to do it tomorrow. I haven't put it off. I've just been busy. And you know what? That's no excuse. Pick up the phone and just say, "Hi, how you doing?" Discipline ourselves to give. Determine to give something daily. Grace is an example. Give someone grace. Rather than an ill word, give them grace. There's so many things that can be said about stewardship. It's freedom. Jesus said freely to his disciples, "You have received, freely give." All he wanted those disciples to do when he commissioned them was go give it away. Give away what I've given you. He doesn't force us to be disciples. It's like the sticky note in your bulletin. He doesn't force anybody to come to a discipleship class. But we're making it available. His invitation is free. Eternal life is free. He gives us the opportunity to participate in ministry when we give of ourselves and we give of our money and we give of our time. There's a group of believers in Macedonia, and Paul said to them, he said, "Brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping." The church in Macedonia was persecuted beyond belief. The people were persecuted beyond belief, and yet the Bible says they gave above their means in order to provide for Paul and for his ministry. Don't worry about how much you have to give. That's not the big deal. Just rely on God, as we said last week, to provide without worrying about it. Give in proportion to what you've received. Like I said last week, you can't outgive God, but you can always give it a try. Whatever he gives to us, we need to dedicate it to him. Generosity comes from a commitment of the heart. And that's what generosity is all about. Whether we're giving money, giving grace, giving friendship, giving love, giving our time, it's all from the heart. And I thought about this week, and I was thinking, the Bible says when two or more are gathered together, I'm in the midst of them. When two or more people ask anything in my name, I will grant it. And I thought, there's power there. It's not just one, but it's two. And so the thought that went through my mind is the more that not the more money necessarily, but the more people that give, the greater their power is in the given dollar. The more people sit and love one another, not like that call I got about gossiping, but the more that people love each other, the greater the power that's there, and the greater relationships have been built. So we think about each other as our partner in the ministry, our partner in the gospel. And when we unite in one and become one in the Spirit, then the power of God moves amazing. I started out by saying and talking about biblical generosity. And here's something that I read this week and I thought it was interesting. He is able to make all grace abound to you. His grace is relevant at all times in our lives. He will provide all we need. He will enable us to be successful in everything we touch. There's no reason under any circumstances for us as believers to ever feel spiritually limited. All we've got to do is apply the word. God's promises to us are limitless because He is a limitless God. He can make grace grow in us, but He can make grace grow from us. He can enable us to do every good work. And when we grasp John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, then everything else is unimportant. Nothing else is important. The words all and every should be reminders to us that He's all we ever need. As we close, I'm going to ask you to bring your pledge cards to the altar and lay them on the, or place them in the basket up there as we sing the last hymn. Once you do that, then I'm going to ask you to pick up an ornament off the out of the basket up there and place it on the tree. We saved that for you today. And by the way, thanks to everybody that helped yesterday. Debbie mentioned it, and just want to say thanks. But we do everything that we do in confidence, believing that if God said He would do something, He'll do it. So we live in confidence. We live in faith, and we live in trust. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your people. We are thankful for Your blessings. We are thankful for Your goodness. We are thankful for Your grace. But we are most thankful for Jesus Christ. And we are most thankful that He gave His life on a cross and rose again that we can have life. And we can have hope beyond the grave. We can have hope beyond the aches and pains. We can have hope beyond the issues that we're facing today. All because of His amazing grace. So, Father, we give You thanks for this day, and we ask that You bless those that give. Pray, Father, that You bless them abundantly as You said You would do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.